Today, we'll have an interview with Justin McElroy. That's coming up on this episode 246 of WWE Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com, but I am not alone. Who are you?
I'm Heather Thomas, also from WW Prep School.
Most of you are probably familiar with Heather, but we run the site together. She is just usually not on this podcast, but today is different. She is part of the interview, so she's also part of the intro.
I do know why, because of who you have on this podcast.
Yes. So this is an interview with Justin McElroy, who Heather is a big fan of, and you'll hear more about that in the interview. But do you recall how I told you that this interview was happening?
I do. You surprised me with a evening phone call, which you didn't even prepare me for. You just called me.
And I recorded it, and if it was G-rated, I would include it in, in this podcast. But since it's not, I posted it in the patron Facebook group. If you're a patron and haven't heard it, be sure to go listen, because it is very entertaining, at least to me.
It wasn't so much to me, but yeah.
Yes. So anyway, Justin McElroy is – he does what, Heather? What is he known for?
He is – probably best known for his, at least for me, podcasts. He has several podcasts. His whole family, the whole McElroy family, has several podcasts. He's an author. He has a couple books that cover different topics that go along with his podcast. Sawbones is a podcast he does with his wife. He has My Brother and Me that he does with two of his brothers. He has The Adventure Zone that he does with his brothers and his dad. Monster Factory, that's YouTube stuff, video game based. He's done all sorts of fantastic things, just hilarious, super great, amazing. Love him.
One of the things he did on YouTube in March was he just went live and started talking about Disney World.
Yes, because he's also a huge Disney fan.
Yes, and that's why we talked about Disney World with him for this episode. So here is our chat with Justin McElroy. Welcome to the podcast, Justin.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Heather is joining me today. Hello, Heather.
Hello, Shannon.
So for those that are not familiar with you, who are you and what do you do?
It sounds accusatory when you say it that way, which is fair, I think. My name is Justin McElroy. I am predominantly a podcaster and author, I guess you could say. My brothers and I and the rest of my family make a lot of podcasts like My Brother and Me and The Adventure Zone and Sawbones, which is a medical show I do with my wife, who's a physician. We've turned some of those into books. And that's the main thrust of it. That's the main stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot. You have plenty going on. And you also happen to like Disney parks.
So I kind of made Disney like my hobby. You know what I mean? Like it's weird. I used to write about video games. So that was my hobby. And then when I started writing about them, it was my job. So it wasn't my hobby anymore. And things just kept turning into my job that were my hobby. So I have I've kept Disney separate. It is Disney is just my hobby.
I find that so interesting that you said that, because it's something Heather and I talk about a lot. We don't consume Disney content because it's our job. Because when your escape becomes your job, you have to find new escapes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a real problem. So I've always been careful to not let, you know, as tempting as it is to get into like content creation vis-a-vis Disney parks, because I'm a little bit obsessed. It's nice to have just this one thing that is just sort of separate.
Yeah, so we'll definitely obviously get into your background with Disney parks, but I wanted to also mention Heather reached out to you recently, and I wanted to tell that story. Heather, can you tell us what happened?
Sure. So I have two kiddos. Both are in college. Both are amazing. But my eldest son was studying in Germany this school year, and he's been there, or he was there, starting in August of last year. So when everything started happening in the world and things were starting to change and the pandemic was sweeping across the country, we had to bring him back home. And he got back home, and he was in that whole cattle call of people who were traveling and was around a bunch of people. And unfortunately, shortly after he got home, he started getting sick, and it just kind of progressed until we knew that he had COVID-19. He tested positive for it, and he went from being just a little bit sick to being incredibly scary sick. Mm. And the bad part about this disease, on top of, you know, all the bad things, is the feeling like you can't be with your loved ones. Like, mm-hmm. you can't be with, like, if I'm his mom, I don't care that he's 22. I just want to be all in his room and taking care of him and, you know, bringing him cool washcloths for his forehead and doing all those mom things. And you can't, you can't.
Sure.
And, so I had taken up like a permanent spot in the living room, which was close to his bedroom, just down the hall. And I could hear him in his bedroom from that spot, but I wasn't right with him. And I have been a longtime huge fan of Sawbones, which got me turned on to My Brother, My Brother and Me. So huge listener and just sucking all that content that you guys put out, but love it. But I'm sitting in the living room and I hear your voice in his bedroom. And I'm wondering, why is Justin in my son's bedroom? I had no clue that he, while I was falling in love with Sawbones and My Brother, My Brother and Me, he was falling in love with the Adventure Zone and Monster Factory. So he was using that to keep his mind off of the stuff he was going through. And it just, we had been dealing with a sick kiddo for days. We're all worried that we're all going to get it. Sure. And it was comforting to know that you were sitting in my son's bedroom, sort of, and he was, you know, having somebody to spend the time with when I couldn't do it myself. So that was huge. So we had received several emails in the past few weeks from very nice people.
Me meaning us as we're running this website and stuff.
Yes, yes, exactly. From, because we had put out more of our podcast on the Patreon side. So we've been trying to do keep things light and friendly and received so many very, very nice emails from people just expressing that. And I was like, I never, ever email anybody. I need you to say thank you, because what you guys were doing matters. And the fact that you and your wife took time to discuss the COVID-19 and the coronavirus and what to expect and put it in a way that isn't scary really, really, really helped. And the fact that my son liked you too, it made a difference. It helped one really, really, really long day and a really crappy time. So that was what I did. And you emailed me back.
Yeah.
And he's doing better now.
Yes.
It's wonderful. That's the important thing.
Yep. He's better. The rest of us just got a little bit sick, so totally doable. But so, yeah. So thank you so much for that.
It was honestly my pleasure. And I'm glad that could help a little bit. It's the nice part about, well, pretty much all the stuff about what we do is nice, but it's especially nice to be able to brighten somebody's day. It's kind of why I think I'm here on the globe. So any opportunity to do that really means a lot. So I'm glad. Well, I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Well, you do. You make me laugh.
Good.
And I would say it's kind of a chain reaction, because now Heather's healthier, her son's healthier, and she can do the same thing for other people. So that is what we are here today to talk about, because Disney is kind of an escape of sorts for all of us. So Justin, getting back to Disney, I know that you know a lot about Disney planning and Disney World now, but where did it all start for you?
Let me think. Well, see, okay. I have two kids, two girls, Charlie and Cooper. Charlie is 5. Cooper is 2. I'm sorry, I hesitated. I know how old she is. So we took Charlie, and, you know, we had been, I had been, you know, I would say I went to Disney the usual amount when I was a kid, you know, maybe like 5 Disney trips, you know, growing up, all told. And it was not a huge portion of my life, but definitely like one of those like nostalgic things that I would turn to. My dad, we were going in an era where, and I think that this is even like, back then, I think people were videoing things. VHS was just a thing, and video cameras were like omnipresent, and they were gigantic. And like my dad's first one coincided with a Disney trip, and so he has like extensive, like every frame of this trip was documented, and we would watch it a bunch as kids. So it was like very much a soft spot, even though, you know, we didn't go a ton. But we had a little girl who is obviously like obsessed with Disney. And so we made the trip, and I had this realization that the first time we went, I just wasn't ready for it. And I realized that when I got there, like, this isn't just something where you get the tickets and show up for the thing. You have to be on your game. Mm-hmm. And it was fine then because she was so little that she was just happy to be there. And my wife was just happy to be there. And I was just miserable because I dropped the ball hardcore. Next time I'm going to get this right. I'm going to do this properly and put in the legwork. And like, I find it very enjoyable. Like I started like obsessively, like, reading everything I could, learning all the different systems and you know, best practices and stuff like that. I'm still on the like Walt Disney World Reddit. I should say I'm using that as a shorthand. I've never been to a Disney park other than Walt Disney World. So when I say Disney, I just mean Walt Disney World. But I'm still on the like Walt Disney World Reddit several times every day. I have the subscription to the Walt Disney World magazine. We got some DVC club or DVC points that we started using, and I just like, I don't know, I'm really, there's something about like the ability to be good at it, and when it all sort of works at the same time and you can like carve out something that feels really genuinely special, like as a parent, there's not a lot that I find like more fulfilling than that, I think. And I know that that's silly, but like I feel like I'm making a memory that they will hold on to. Not the 2-year-old, she'll forget it almost instantly, but like the 5-year-old will. So that's something. Yeah. It's like half good.
Yeah, but when they're that little, it becomes more about the parents. Like, you're enjoying seeing them do stuff even if they don't remember it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it does seem like there's two types of people. One of them, you go and you have a terrible time because you don't realize how hard it is. And then you're like, screw that place. I'm never doing that again. And then there's your type, which is, wait a minute, I got to figure this out.
Yeah, we went to, and not to like badmouth it, but we went to Art of Animation was our first like resort, right? Because we went budget because we figured like, she's so little, it seems wild to like go deluxe or you know, when she's not going to like remember a lot of it. It's just kind of like a trial run. So we went our animation, and I'll be honest, y'all, the walk to food from the resort, and I was like, I kept thinking like, why can I not go to like a vending machine? Why do I have to walk 3/4 of a mile to go get a bottle of water? It's maddening. The theming, beautiful. The just like the overall convenience, just like, I don't know, it really kicked my butt. And then the first night that we were like, you know what, I'm not making the walk, let's just order some pizza and have it delivered, that'll be easy. And we call and it's like, oh, that'll just be 90 minutes. Like, what? you can't you're starving us out, Art of Animation. That was like the kind of thing that I realized like we didn't even have, I don't even think we had like fast passes. I think we were just like going for it. And that's obviously embarrassing to admit now, but I've grown a lot.
We used to like go through the parks and try to save everybody. You know, we'd see people doing stuff and be like, no, that's not how you do it. And now we kind of take the approach of, you can't save everybody because there's so much learning you should be doing before you get there, as you have learned.
Yeah, it's too late. Once they're there, it's too late. It's every person for themselves. You can't take the time once you're physically there. Now, it got bad. Like, I'll even check, like, wait times I got on my family's nerves because over Christmas I was like pulling up wait times. It's just like, whoo, y'all, Flight of Passage is wild. Like, what are you talking about? Like, come open presents. Like, no, you don't understand. Y'all, it's like 5 hours. This is unbelievable.
You know, when the parks first shut down during this, you know, break right now, Peter Pan's flight still had like a 90-minute wait, which amused me because I was also checking wait times at home.
There's no one in the park. Peter Pan is just 70 minutes to get on. No one is allowed in. It's a 70-minute wait.
Yeah, they're still working through the queue. It's going to take a while.
That was another one, y'all. The first time I rode that bad boy, and I was like, this is going to be good. The lines have been so long. I know this is going to be choice. Then you ride it, it's like, this feels like a fairground. What is happening?
I know. I think that would be a good topic. Like, what things are just not worth the payoff? Because that one's a weird one. It's cute, but man, that's a long wait.
It's a long wait, yeah.
So you've so far talked about like your immediate family, but you're known for with your extended family. So are you traveling just with your immediate family, or do you ever go as a group?
I have orchestrated one time. I did a 15-person, like my immediate family, my brothers, my in-laws, my dad and his wife, my brothers and their kids and their wives, and my immediate family. And I did, 15 people. I did it one time. Will never, ever do it again. Felt huge satisfaction. No fun. Not fun at all for me. But will, like, hugely satisfying. I have, like, one picture. My background on my phone right now is a picture of all of us outside Crystal Palace with like the castle in the background, like taking a group photo together. And it's like, it might as well be like a war medal that I have pinned to my chest. It's like, yes, I did this one time. Yes, we're all wearing matching t-shirts. I'll never do this again. I hope everyone enjoyed themselves.
Because you're what? The tour guide and the planner for everybody?
Yes, I was like making all the reservations, doing all of it. And it was actually wild because we kind of timed these out to – my family performs our podcast. We do like live tours where we'll go to like 3 different cities in a weekend and record our shows in front of a live audience. So we time our Orlando show to a trip to Disney. We've done this for a few years running. And we went down in September of last year, was this big group Disney trip, was September of last year. And it was the exact week that the hurricane was supposed to just like level everything. If you remember, like our shows got canceled, actually.
Yeah.
We had to go early to Wilderness Lodge. We had to like go early and just see if they would like let us in. Because we had no, like, we didn't have like a place to go. We didn't have a show to do or anything. But it was this weird, perfect storm of literally, I guess, where obviously it wreaked tremendous havoc elsewhere, but it, for whatever reason, like right there in Orlando, it wasn't bad at all. And so you had like, there was like one day at the park that got rained out, and then the other days were fine, and there was no one there. I mean, there was nobody else there because everybody had canceled their trips except for us who were lunatics and were already there because we were doing our shows. So we were just like, we got to let it ride. So we really snatched a victory from the jaws of defeat on that one. I was like having an ulcer. Like if this thing gets canceled, this is literally like weeks upon months of planning that it will be down the toilet and I'll never do it again and I'll never go again. That was a wild one.
Do you have any trips planned this year that you've had to delay or reschedule?
We were going to go in May actually. And while they have not officially said that it won't be happening, my wife has officially said it won't be happening. I think once we're done here, I'm finally gonna bite the bullet and call and cancel it. I've been putting it off just because like it bums me out so majorly. We performed on a cruise in March. It was like one of the last cruises that went out before they all got shut down. We performed on a cruise, and I was actually like, I woke up at 7 a.m. Or actually, it was like 6:45 a.m. on the boat, which barely had Wi-Fi, and like went to like the top of the ship where I thought the Wi-Fi might be slightly stronger to try to book fast passes.
That's dedication. So,
I actually booked it after our last trip, because in the shuttle back to the airport after our trip, I got a reservation for Be Our Guest. And I was like, well, now we got to go, because we got this reservation for Be Our Guest. And that was one of the ones that had gotten canceled after the hurricane. So, well, we got to go. We got this reservation to Be Our Guest. We got to plan a trip around it now. Sadly, that it doesn't seem like that will happen. Well, it definitely won't happen for us. I have been informed. But it doesn't seem like, probably. I don't know. Well, what has been your all's take on it? What are your when you look into your crystal balls?
Oh, you want to take a stab, Heather?
Well, like, my heart wishes for June, the beginning of June, but I would not be surprised to see it pushed out further than that.
Yeah,
we've been talking a lot about Christmas, even though it's nowhere close to Christmas, and I think it's because I feel like it's far enough away that it won't disappoint mm-hmm. me if I start talking yeah. about Christmas.
Yeah, it feels safe. It feels like that's a safe time to be thinking about, to be planning a trip. But who knows?
I mean, you gotta expect some sort of stair stepping, right? Like, it can't be just open the gates and everybody go buck wild and we're all gonna, and the buffets are open, everybody line up, let's go, everything's fine now.
Yeah, nobody touch each other, but let's go.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Keep everybody outstretch your arms while you're in the line. Okay, now don't let your fingertips touch. Okay, that's your personal bubble. Don't let anybody in your bubble while you're in the line.
I want to get back to Disney World in a minute and ask you some of your favorites, but I want to take a minute to talk about Disneyland, because I really, really want you to know that I think you would love it. One of my joys in life was Heather going for the very first time, like a few years ago. Heather, can you please help me talk to him about Disneyland?
I know on your recent YouTube video, you said you hadn't really thought about it and hadn't considered it. And I know that flight is a beast from where you're at. But I, too, thought, why do I want to go there? It's just a miniature version of Disney World. What does it have to offer me? How can this be anything good? And I am now obsessed with Disneyland. Like, I love it. It is, especially with little kids, it is so easy to do Disneyland with little ones. Like, so easy. If you can get past that flight, it's amazing.
All right.
Just consider it. Just consider it.
No commitment now, but put that in the back of your brain as something that you could possibly do, because I really, really, really think everybody that loves Disney World should give Disneyland a try at least once.
Maybe. I'll have to try. That might be something where I would wait till they're a little bit older, just because that cross-country flight with a two-year-old is just like, we've done it a few times, and it is for like tours and stuff, and it is, whoa. I don't think there is a place on Earth happy enough to provide succor for that particular wound.
Totally get it. By the time we get out of quarantine, she might be a teenager, so you'll be ready.
Oh, come on. I'm just gotta say posy.
I'm just kidding. But definitely think about it, because I do think a lot of Disney World people don't consider Disneyland because of the size, but it is absolutely worth it, especially if you've got the ability to do both.
I just like to work Disneyland people up, because they get so defensive about their small park, and it's really fun to just like completely dismiss it out of hand, because boy, oh boy, does that raise their hackles. Just a little good nature fun.
Yes, it absolutely does. But we're Disney World people telling you, so we have a different motive. Really no motive. We just think you'd like it. Okay, so you mentioned a couple hotels. And you mentioned having trouble with the value because you were so far away. You mentioned Wilderness Lodge. What is your favorite Disney World hotel you've stayed at?
Favorite is, if I had like my dream locale, it is Polynesian in the, like, with a theme park view. One time we got lucky and just got bumped up to club level. Oh boy. Oh my. That really takes the edge off when you got a room full of like dessert and alcohol 30 feet from you, like that you can go into at any point. That is the good stuff right there. I will say I think we go to Wilderness more because that's where our points are for the DBC. But I like Wilderness a lot. The cabin, which we did one time when we were all together, was beautiful. The ones on the lake there. But for me, like Polynesian, I just love that aesthetic. And I love the views there of the fireworks, which is one of my kids' like favorite parts. Even they, you know, are still little enough that it's tough staying up in like doing that long of a day in Magic Kingdom, but like we never miss the fireworks. So I love Polynesian for that reason. That would probably be my favorite. Like I have, like if you're talking like favorite, like I think Artist Point is probably better than the Polynesian restaurants that I have tried. Like the Artist Point, the Snow White dining thing at Wilderness Lodge, I like a lot. And I like the vibe at Wilderness for sure. I think all things considered, I prefer Polynesian.
Yeah, so we're big fans of staying club level as well. I never thought I'd say that, but we make great use.
It's unfathomably bougie. I mean, you feel like a real heel even admitting it. But God, it really does make the difference just in making like the morning, like figuring out like breakfast and coffee and stuff, which is always such a chore normally. It really saves a lot of time, I think.
We both have grown children who can drink, so it makes it much more valuable to stay club level because they love to hang out and have drinks with us.
Yeah.
So
it just, the club level at Wilderness can be rough. Like we had a club level room, quote unquote club level room once, and it was like two floors away and like a quarter mile walk to get to like the club area. Mm-hmm. And it's like I ended up every morning going up by myself and just like stealing – like just like loading my arms down with like a pot of coffee and a tray of pastries and everything just to like take back to our room. Cause it's like, I'm not going to trek us all up here, be an hour late going to the parks. But yeah,
just to get your snacks. So to add to the, what did you say? It makes you look like a heel. To add to the heel factor, have you ever considered buying fast passes when you're staying club level?
No, I didn't realize it was an option. You can buy fast passes.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Okay. Only club level people. Only club level people, though.
I do abuse the texting the concierge when I'm club level. Be like, can you take care of this for me? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Fix it, please.
I know. I know. They're so nice.
They're really nice.
And I was gonna say, and on those fast passes, they're 90-day, not 60-day.
Oh, you can book them earlier, you mean?
You book them earlier, and you can get the tiers don't matter. You know,
Hachi Machi. Tier this one. Is huge.
I know.
Yo, I got to go. I got to plan a trip in 90 days.
I know, right? We have been taking advantage of it sometimes when we really need those extra. Because you also get your three regular ones, so you end up with six for the day. So something to consider. Add that to your list. Disneyland and buying fast passes. We're just full of ideas for you. okay, so other than your hotel, with little kids, is Magic Kingdom your favorite park, or is there another favorite for your family?
My personal favorite is Epcot and will always be Epcot. I think that there's just, I don't know, there's something about Journey into Imagination, now Journey into Your Imagination. It used to be very good. Now it's a little weird, but I still enjoy it. That like sort of like the ideals of Epcot, the sort of like rah-rah retrofuturism, like power of imagination and ingenuity and you know, that forward looking, that kind of vibe, especially and paired with like the World Showcase and being able to drink all around the world, which is quite a thing. It makes it my personal favorite. I can expound more on Epcot, but I think that like Magic Kingdom is definitely the girls' favorite. You know, we have there's also a lot more there for them to do there. You know, it's like Epcot, once you burn through Nemo and Frozen and Imagination, you start to like, I don't know, what else will they love at Epcot. So yeah, Magic Kingdom is their favorite. Epcot is my personal favorite. So we try to pace it out, you know, so Epcot falls in the middle, but we have to get Magic Kingdom done first or else the whole time we're at Epcot, it's just like, when are we going to the actual theme park and not just the one where you eat giant pretzels?
Yeah. Sometimes I think planning out your days, like which park you're going to each day, it should start and end with Magic Kingdom, because that's what people always think of, and just fill in the space in the middle with the other parks. But
we have done that before. We typically will do like a 3-day, like 5-day trip, 3 days at the parks. When we have done that one in September, we were there for a little bit longer because the whole family was there. We kind of like open and closed with Disney, with Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. So are you excited about things that are coming to Epcot? We don't know when they're coming at this point, but we know some of them will be.
Yeah. I think the Moana attraction is going to be cool. I don't love Ratatouille. It's not like my – I know everybody – for a lot of people, it's their favorite. And I think it's a great film. It's just like the character-wise, it's not huge for me. I think the Beauty and the Beast show could be fun. I love that they're taking the time to like polish up Epcot visually a little bit, because I feel like it had started to feel a little bit ragged, especially in like the entry way and that sort of area. So I'm very excited about that. Looking beyond that, I mean, like, I think Tron is going to be cool. It'll be cool to have like another sort of thrill ride in Magic Kingdom to maybe like draw some of the crowds off of like the kid stuff that like shouldn't be as busy as it is. There's just, I think, not as much to, and you know, any other distraction I think is helpful. But those are the ones the new restaurant at Epcot, the Space 220, that looks really cool. So I'm pumped for that.
It does. We were so excited to have it opening soon, and hopefully that will happen as soon as it reopens, but I can't wait to see what that's like. Do you have a favorite ride that your whole family likes?
Yes. We should be a caveat. Like, I don't think this is anybody's individual favorite, but the three of us together would like collectively pick Grand Fiesta Tour Starting Three Caballeros, which
didn't see that one coming.
I know. Okay. But here's my pitch for it. One, I love the theming inside Mexico. It's like so cool. It has a real tangible, like aesthetic and vibe that like, I think is like kind of transportative. And so I love that already, but the Grand Fiesta Tour is one of the very few rides that you can like almost without fail just like get onto and ride it. And almost always walk on, I would say. Like, I think the most I've ever waited is like 10 minutes. And when you have little kids, that's really nice to have one where you know, like, we can just ride this as many times as you guys want. Like, mom and dad will take turns riding it with you. The other one will drink a margarita. And then we'll just like ride it in a loop, or like when it's raining, it's perfect for that. There's just not enough over there in the World Showcase for like that kids like love. So I don't know. There's something about the Grand Fiesta Tour that is just like, I think it's collectively our median favorite. It is our, if you average out all our preferences, it is probably the top ranking ride.
That will probably change over the years. There's so many good options. So Heather tells me you like sports as much as I do, which is not very much. But she created March Madness brackets for Disney World rides, and I wanted to give you a couple of the head-to-heads and see what you would pick.
Okay.
We were surprised.
Oh my gosh, this is so fun.
We were surprised by some of the results. I'm curious what you'll think. All right. So Flight of Passage versus Expedition Everest.
I have to pick Expedition Everest. I've never ridden Flight of Passage.
Really?
Well, I mean, think about the age. I mean, like, you know, it's like, I don't want to do something if they can't do it too. And if we have like a bunch of people there, like if we have like other adults, you know, I could swing it, but like I haven't ridden it just because like, I can't justify waiting in the line, you know, by myself or get even using fast passes on it. Also Animal Kingdom, we've only done a couple times. It's not like I don't think that one's like just as a park super great for kids. At least not our age. As they get older and a little more into animals, I'm sure they'll dig it. That was way too much answer. Expedition Everest. Fix the Yeti. Hashtag fix the Yeti. Expedition Everest.
So I think you're going to love Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Your whole family.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's brand new. Barely anyone's been on it.
If we can walk right on it every time, it'll beat out Grand Fiesta Tour starting the Three Caballeros.
Well, if you buy those fast passes, you can walk right onto a lot of things. All right. Next one, Splash Mountain versus Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I can't stand getting wet. I don't like that. I don't like to have to walk around with squishy shoes. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which I also don't love. That's another one where, like, even though it's newer, I think it's kind of neat. I don't understand the crowds for that. But I would go with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay. It did win in that showdown.
That is the correct decision.
That was correct. We gave people extra points for being correct. No, we already did that one. Rise of the Resistance, you may not have been on either, right?
Did not get on Rise of the Resistance for many similar reasons.
Yes.
As the other.
All right. Rise of Resistance is so popular, it won the entire thing. So it is in most of the brackets all the way till the end.
It's got to earn it. I think that's ridiculous. Put in the work, you know? Like, it's a small world has been cranking it out for four decades, and it's just going to roll in here and be the best ride at Disney World? No way. No way.
You put time as one of your factors in choosing which one wins.
I think longevity. I mean, ask like, I don't know, Body Tours or frigging Horizons R&D. Or whatever. Like, yeah, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. You got to hang in there and not get like bulldozed, you know, and made into a Starbucks or excuse me, a Joffrey's Coffee.
Yeah, either one. You can find both of them. What about, let's go back to Magic Kingdom, Big Thunder versus Seven Dwarfs?
I think Big Thunder is actually really fun. I think that it is, it reminds me of an excellent roller coaster in Cincinnati at Kings Island. I think it's the world's longest wooden roller coaster called The Beast, which has that mine train aesthetic too. I think that that's fun. I think that the theming on the line is really fun. A lot of like details to look at. And I would go, and I think it's like a decent length too. And, like you feel like you get your proverbial bang for your buck. So I would go Big Thunder on that one.
Yeah. That is an unpopular opinion perhaps because Seven Dwarfs Mine Train won. But I agree with you. It's longer.
Incorrect.
It's incorrect. Theory. We blocked everyone who voted for that on Facebook.
Right. Yeah, good.
That's how this works. So I know that you're a big fan of watching ride videos like a lot of us are. Have you been seeing the homemade Disney videos that people have been putting up?
Yeah, I think that's really cute. I think we're going to try to do that this weekend or next to make up for the fact that our Disney trip is canceled. Try to do like a simulated Disney day. I bought some Dole Whip mix and an ice cream maker. I learned how to make the s'mores, the graham cracker s'mores from Woody's Roundup over there in Toy Story Mania. Mm-hmm. And been like, you know, cultivating some ride videos and stuff like that. So I think I'm going to try to make a run at it. Just try to capture put on some of our t-shirts and try to capture the experience as much as possible. But it's really cute to see people sort of like trying to, I want the one, someone train their Alexa to do the little chime noise when they swipe their magic band on it, which I saw in one of the videos and I'm obsessed with, and I want that in my home.
That is super cute. Heather has been working on something kind of related to this, doing Disney at home.
Yeah, we're doing just, you know, Disney movie night ideas, trying to put everything together to make it easy for families to do that. And we took a look at all the Disney Plus offerings that are out there and figured out all the movies and what attractions and character meals and restaurants and resorts, like what things are connected to one another. Just whatever we can do to try to keep people connected to their happy place is kind of what our goal is right now.
Yeah, a lot of people in that scenario. It's rough. I mean, it's rough. It's mm-hmm. weird how much it has affected me knowing that I, even when I wasn't planning on going, knowing that like I couldn't go if I wanted mm-hmm. to, like I didn't realize that like how big of a part of my like heart that was, like just knowing that it was like out there and people were going and whatever. When the I think everybody has their moments for this, and mine probably seems silly, but the our kids' school got closed, and it was like, oh my God, they closed school. That's impossible. There's no way. But when I heard that Disney was closed, it was like, well, I mean, certainly something is terribly like that really made me tailspin a little bit. Like I felt like really out of control as a result. And like, in a sense, it is it's a good thing, right? I always try to remember that, in that the alternative to them closing is so absolutely wild and irresponsible and dangerous that it's like, this is the only good response. And so I try to think about that when I see, you know, empty streets and empty restaurants. I don't think like post-apocalyptic. I try to think like, well, everybody's working together on this. And I've gotten my head back to there. But there was a few days where it was, things were tough.
Same. Same.
We've been describing every day as a roller coaster because, sort of like you, we know that the parks have to close and we're so sad. So we're like, don't close, please close, don't close, please close. Like, it has to happen, but we're so sad about it. I guess that's part of the grieving.
Yeah, it's like this crazy metric. Like, once you reach that level, you know that things are really not in a good place. So it's, I think it's a combination of both having your happy place closed and knowing that it would only close if something was really, really wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
That makes it tricky.
Yeah. I often ask guests when their next trip is going to be, but at this point, none of us really knows, do we?
Who knows? I did book... just because I had DVC points that were going to expire, I booked for December. I'm hopeful that will still go off without a hitch. You know, you never know. We're taking a few friends that have never been, so that'll be really exciting should it come to pass. Knocking on the wood in my desk, but yeah, my next trip is scheduled for May. And until about 2 hours from now, at which point my next trip will be scheduled for December.
If it makes you feel any better, we just canceled our end of April trip at the beginning of April. So it took a while.
Yeah, it does make me feel better. Spread it around. That's what I say. Everybody should get a taste of this great suffering.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and we also canceled a Disneyland trip and a Disney cruise. So it was...
Disneyland, that's no great loss. Disney cruise, I don't know. But
we love it so much, we're taking a private tour group of 40 there next year. So,
hachi machi.
I know. Yeah. We have that to look forward to, but hopefully we'll have some things before then as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's been lovely to chat with you about your hobby that you're clearly very passionate about. So thanks for taking the time. Where can people find you if they're not already following you?
So I'm on Twitter, Justin McElroy, McElroy. You can find all of our podcasts and all that stuff at McElroy.family, McElroy.family.
You got that family domain name.
Yeah, normally I'd plug tour dates, but those are all in the toity. So that's it for right now.
Okay, well, I will be sure to link to that for people that might want to follow you now. Thanks for talking to us, Justin. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I hope you enjoy that chat with Justin McElroy. Did you enjoy it, Heather Thomas?
I loved it. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of it, Shannon.
Yes. Well, this won't be your last time on the podcast, and that'll be coming in May. So
thank you.
She'll be back. Woohoo! All right. Well, for links mentioned in this episode, you can always check your podcast app or go to the website, www.prepschool.com. Click on podcast at the top and go to episode 246. Until next time, I'll see you on the podcast.